Once again, scripture reading be Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its lusts.
We'll be looking at some little verses that Jason just read for our lesson this morning concerning our lives as Christians, and if we are changed, we live by faith when we obey God in baptism, and we're no longer under the law of Moses, so then we serve God daily as faithful children of God, listening to His Word, learning it, and applying it in our lives that we might know going forward the warning of sin, to be able to avoid sin, to be able to mature and grow, that we would know better how to serve God and do His will so that we sin less going forward than we have in the past. The fact is that we are human and we are subject to error. And we do make mistakes. But as we grow in Christ, as we mature, as the knowledge of God's Word dwells in us and we learn it, our faith grows, our hope in Christ grows, our assurance grows, and so our ability to perceive certain things ahead of time will increase. Our knowledge of God will help us to be keen and observant of the things around us so that we don't get caught up in the sins of the world. And so by doing that, we serve God faithfully, and so we'll be classified as those who would be children of God, Christians who are living a faithful life. That's our goal. We had some very good lessons this week from Brother Lynn Huggins, and on various subjects. Many of them were about the way we live, the way we conduct our lives, our responsibility to God and our responsibility to others. And I appreciate very much the lessons he had, the fine way in which he taught God's Word. He has a good knowledge of the Word of God, and he does it in such a fine way that when you listen to him, it's like sitting in a class and just having the Word fed to you, and that's good. And so we're thankful for that, and I appreciate the Word of God that he taught today, and appreciate his stand for the truth that he does on a continual basis in his life. But in regard to the meeting now, and Brother Lynn Huggins preaching in that meeting, one thing that I was impressed with this week, as I am always at Beulah and other areas where we've worshiped, there are always a consensus of people in the congregation who are very dependable. And in that, I say this because there are those who have ailments, there are those who get sick, there are those who get migraines, there are things that go around that prevent us from attending the services. Some people have back and neck pain and they just can't sit here every night. Some people catch viruses and can't be here. And in certain cases, such as the virus, I don't think God expects us to be here and share our sickness. But the point I want to make is that I am encouraged by the example that's set by so many of you this past week by being here every service. And some of you were here not every service, but most of the services, many of the services, you were here, the services that you were able to attend. And in saying that, some of you were here when you were not really able to attend. You were not physically able to be here, but you came because you wanted to be a part of that meeting. You wanted to hear the Word of God. You wanted to be encouraged by the teaching of the Word, and you wanted to be an encouragement yourself. So if you made it twice, if you made it five times, if you made it four times, some of you, we had some who had treatments this week. and they even made it to some of the services. And we have some with problems related to old age, and you made it here. We have some that have so much care that they have to do toward family members that they have to take care of, that are unable to take care of themselves as they would like to, and you made it to so many of the services. We have some that were here that worked all week and was able to be here at so many of the services. So, I think we need to notice the things when people put forth an effort to do good and to be there, even when I can see the look on their face and they don't really feel like being here, but they want to be here. So those things are commendable. And I want to put that in this morning. And that's part of being a faithful Christian, is that we make every effort we can and take advantage of every opportunity when we're able and not providentially hindered from being here to be a part of that. We have those who, this morning, as Alan mentioned, that are back with us that have been away for a few days, and we're certainly glad to have you. We miss you when you're not here, and we're glad that you're here today with us to worship God in spirit and truth. So let's look to Romans chapter 6 and look at a few of these things concerning the life of a Christian this morning. So when we think about the life of a Christian and becoming a child of God, those who obey the Word of God, when they hear the Word of God and listen to what He has to say, those people, when they hear the Word of God and they are moved by it and they receive it into their heart and they do what they're told by the Word of God to become a Christian, then they are followers of Christ. And so to become a Christian or a follower of Christ, we know that in serving Him, the Christians in Acts 11 and verse 26 were called, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And so that is the name that's given to people who are children of God. That is the name that is given to people who are following Christ in a faithful manner. We are Christians because we belong to Christ. He is the head of the church. He is the bridegroom. Christians make up the church. We are the body of Christ. Therefore, we wear His name. We are Christians. And so, to become a Christian, we must have faith in the Word of God. We must hear the Word of God. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us that, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're going to be a Christian, to become a child of God and the Lord add us to His body, it has to start with hearing the Word of God, because that's the only way we can develop faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we can't come to God without faith. We can't please God without faith. Hebrews 11 and 6. You know, but he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith in God is essential to become a Christian, but it's not just faith. It's a faith that obeys the commands that God sets forth for us to do in order to become a Christian. James 2 and verse 17, even so faith, if it have not works, is dead, being alone. And when you look at the examples of conversion, those people who were converted to Christ in the New Testament, those people who heard the Word of God, they believed it, there was action on their part to do what God asked them to do so that they could become Christians. And becoming Christians, then they were to be faithful. And part of that action, when they heard the Word of God and believed it, they were to repent of their sins, confess Christ, and then to be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. Baptism puts us into Christ. Romans 6, 3 through 7 there talks about the fact that, you know, we are buried with Him in baptism. And so the water represents the blood of Christ, and when we're baptized into Christ, we rise to walk in newness of life. So become a Christian, the Lord, when we are immersed in the water represents the blood of Christ. When we've done the things, the prerequisites of that, and we follow His instructions by faith, we rise to walk in newness of life. What are we? We are a new person. We are a Christian. Because the Lord, in Acts chapter 2, when Peter told those people who heard the Word of God taught and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ preached to them and about what they needed to do, they were told in verse 38 of Acts chapter 2, to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, they that gladly received the word were what? Were baptized that day, and about 3,000 souls were added to them. in verse 47 of that chapter, it says that those people that were hearing and believing and being baptized, the Lord what? Added to the church daily those that were being saved. So to faithfully follow God as a Christian, there are some things we must do by faith in order for Him to classify us as His child. In order for us to be His child. It's not that God's done it all and there's nothing that we are required to do on our part. We can't save ourselves. We can't live good enough to get to heaven, but He has given certain requirements for us in order to receive the blessing of forgiveness because God has done His part. He gave His Son. His Son gave His life. He gave us His Word. He instructs us in His Word what we're to do to become a Christian. And when we do those things by faith, we are Christians because we did what God asked us to do. And so, as a Christian then, 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, we're to do what? Glorify God in the name Christian. So that brings us to our lesson this morning. We want to look at a few points regarding things in the New Testament about being a faithful Christian. What are some things that are required of me and you as faithful Christians? As faithful Christians, what are some things that will result from being a faithful Christian? Now, I want to look at a few of these things this morning. But before we get into those points, I want to make another point. This week, we've all been busy with a meeting, and there are some things that some of us had to do. There were some funerals that had to be attended. There were some things that needed to be done. And one of the sermons that I heard this week, there was a man stood before a large group, and he was talking to those people in that attendance of that group, and he said, all you have to do in order to be right with God and to know that you are saved is just to accept Jesus into your heart. That's all you have to do. He said, you don't have to move from where you're at. You can sit right where you're at and accept Him into your heart, and you are saved. You are saved. And he said, now there's some people that don't want to, his words were, there are some people that don't want to hear this, but all of you here, many of you need to hear this, he said. Because he said, some of you don't want to hear it because you don't want to hear the truth. I really wanted to stand up and preach a sermon about that time. And I'm sure many other people would like to have stood up and preached a sermon about that time. The truth of the matter is that God has given instructions. He has given strict instructions in His Word. Instructions that can be easily understood if you read and perceive what He says. We can do what He asks us to do by faith. But it's not just that we receive the Word into our heart. And when we receive it into our heart, there's some things we're to do. We're to confess Christ. We're to repent of our sins. That's action on your part and my part. We're to submit to baptism. That's action on our part, submitting to that. The truth? What is truth? Truth is God's Word. God's Word is truth. And God's Word tells us we must hear the Word. And the Word brings about faith. And when we believe by faith, that we're to obey to do what it asks. That's truth. So this morning, let's consider a few things then concerning the faithful life of a Christian that you and I need to be living today and as we live on this earth, as long as time may last for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and look at verse 1 and look at some of these verses. As Christians, after we've been baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away at baptism. And so we arise to walk in newness of life. And so we must work, study, grow and learn and grow in God's grace and grow in the knowledge of God and grow spiritually and grow in strength and so that we overcome sin, so that we sin less, so that we keep sin removed out of our life. And God gives us grace in that if we do sin, not a license to commit sin, but if we do sin, it may be by mistake, we do something we shouldn't or it may be something we've done intentionally that on the spur of the moment. And so we need to work to remove sin from our life and present our bodies, what? As instruments of righteousness to God. Look at Romans 6, verses 1 to 23, and I'll go down and begin in verse 12 and 13 and read those where Jason left off in the reading. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. There's a no factor, and there's a yes factor in being a faithful Christian. Do not, verse 13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. So when we're children of God, when we're Christians, if we're going to be faithful, we're not out going out rubbing elbows and involving in sin deliberately and going out and doing things we ought not to do, thinking and acting in things or going places or participating in things that are wrong, because those are instruments of sin. And so we stay away from those things. And so we present our bodies as instruments of righteousness to God. Look at verses 17 through 19. He says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. We've obeyed Christ. We no longer obey the law of Moses. We obey Christ. We no longer obey sin. We're obeying God through Christ as instruments of righteousness. Verse 18. And being set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. And verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to moral lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. As the old saying goes, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. All of you know this already. That we're baptized into Christ, we're expected to grow in knowledge, grow in faith, and grow in our actions so that we sin less going forward and so that we present ourselves in a way that's pleasing to God, living our lives as much without sin as possible. So there's a result then. When we live the Christian life, we're serving God and we're serving Him as instruments of righteousness. There's a result that comes from faithful Christian living that's totally opposite from the result that's going to come from engaging in sin. Sin has its consequences, and living a righteous life has its rewards. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, Paul talks about sin. And he says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. When we serve God, and we serve Him in righteousness by obedience to His Word, the gift that we're going to have is eternal life because it comes from God, because we've served Him as a faithful Christian. On the opposite side, if we serve sin, we're going to lose our soul and be eternally punished forever. Look at verses 21 through 23 of Romans chapter 6. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. Listen now, the outcome of serving God and doing His will in Christ. Verse 22. You have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. To live a faithful Christian life means that we're going to live eternally with God in heaven. The opposite to that is, in verse 23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus. So, our goal should be to faithfully serve God. Serve Him as instruments of righteousness. So the question for Charles is, and your question for yourself would be, how am I living? Am I living according to sin and in sin? Am I living according to the works of the flesh and desires of the mind? Or am I living according to God's will letting His Word live in me and direct me that I might be an instrument of righteousness to Him. That I might serve Him faithfully and have the best outcome. That is, life in heaven. Well, faithful Christian living then is going to require that we walk in a worthy manner. And that's part of putting off sin and putting on God and following His Word. But Ephesians chapter 4, turn over there and let's look at just a few verses concerning our actions and our life as Christians. If we're going to be faithful, our life is going to be in holy conduct, serving God. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. To serve God faithfully requires walking in a worthy manner. A worthy manner comes when we let the Word of God sink into our hearts, direct our life, and we do His will. Look at chapter 5 and verse 2 of Ephesians. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God for a sweet-smelling aroma. There are things that are of a good nature, things of a spiritual nature, things of the fruit of the Spirit that we will be doing if we're going to serve God faithfully. And on the opposite side, there's some things we're going to leave off. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 8 then, concerning our life as Christians. He says, For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The Word of God is light. The Word of God is our path. We need to follow that light and we can walk in light. Look at verse 8, 15. Verse 15 of Ephesians 5. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time for the days are evil. So, faithful living is your duty and my duty. Walk in a worthy manner. It requires then that in walking in a worthy manner and serving God faithfully, that we're growing in knowledge of God's Word every day. As we grow in that knowledge, it puts up a partition, a fence that will help protect us from sin to keep us out of it so we can stay away from it. It puts up a guard for us. So we need to grow and mature. Look at Ephesians 4, verses 14 through 16. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the trickery of men, the cunning of craftiness, or deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Then look, if you will, the fact that when we're growing in Christ, it's going to involve getting into the Word of God. Such as we've done this morning in studying in the class with Alling in Acts chapter 18 and 19. Studying to prepare for that beforehand and Him studying to teach us and us studying to engage in that Word that we may have knowledge of God's Word that will help us serve Him faithfully. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, studying the Word, hearing the Word, engaging in discussion of the Word will help us to grow, and attending the services will help us to grow. Being in a Bible class will help us to grow. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, you look at that chapter and Paul talks about the church when it came together and there were some who were speaking, and he said, you know, if you're going to speak and you're speaking in a different language and those some of them around you, make sure there's an interpreter so that those people can hear and understand what's being said. There don't need to be any confusion over the Word of God, and the only way there's going to be any confusion is when man causes it. God doesn't cause it. So the Word of God and growing faithfully and maturing in the Word of God is important in a Bible class. And Paul said we need to do this at Corinth as Christians that all may be edified. And so faithful Christian living involves growing spiritually and maturing and feeding off the Word of God. And when we're taught it and have the opportunity to assemble to worship and assemble for a Bible class on Wednesday evening or attend a gospel meeting, whatever it is, we need to take every advantage of those opportunities that present themselves for us so that we can serve God in the right way. Well, faithful Christian living requires putting off and laying aside sin. And you may say, well, Charles, you've already made that point two or three times this morning from Romans chapter 6, and I have, but this is part of it. As we mature, as we grow, we're laying off more sin and more sin because we know better. We know better to do it. It bothers us if we think about doing it, so we don't do it. We're getting stronger in the faith. And so we're putting off more sin and we're laying aside sin. And so we sin less as we go forward. We can't ever get to the point that we have perfection and we'll not sin because we're human. But we can sin less and sin less and sin less and grow and mature. And then we get to the point of maturity that when we do commit a sin, we realize we've done it. And when we do that sin, there's something we need to do about it. We're going to get to that in just a minute. But faithful Christian living requires putting off and laying aside sin. Those verses, Ephesians 4, 17 through 31, those we talked about a little bit earlier, those are important. That whole chapter, Ephesians chapter 4 and Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7 and verses 11 and 12. Putting off sin. Putting those things out of our life. Putting them away. Laying aside those things, be put away from us. Look at verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4. Just an example. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All malice. And then verses 3 through 7 there in chapter 5. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not even be named among you. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of things. And the reason is that those people who participate in those things and don't get forgiveness of it and come out of it and quit doing it will not inherit the kingdom of God. So faithful Christian living requires that we get into the book and we shape our lives up, we clean up our life, we obey God, we grow spiritually, and we put off sin as we go forward. We're going to sin less and do less as far as things that are wrong and do more things that are right. Well, faithful Christian living is going to have some good results. It's going to result in you and me becoming a new person in the likeness of God. Look at Ephesians 4, 23 and 24. He says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The old man of sin is against God. The old man of sin has separated himself from God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. But the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save. So what we need to do is be faithful and become as a child of God. And we develop becoming a new person in the likeness of God. We become a new person. Look at chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 again. He says, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. So we can be better. We can live faithfully. And when we do that, we become a better person, a new person. Now these things I've talked about this morning, they're not just suggestions from God's Word. Now they are options because we can take it or leave it. If we don't take it, we're going to lose our soul. But if we want to please God and clean our life up and be saved and continue faithfully, these are mandatory requirements for us in order to please God, to be the kind of man or woman, boy or girl He wants us to be. I know you want to live faithful and so do I. We just get into the book and read and study and we can find out what those things are. So we need to truly from the heart put on Christ, obey what He asked by faith, become a new creature in Christ, and then put on His Word, put it into our hearts and let it live. Put off the old man, put on the new, become a new creature in Christ, live a righteous life before Him, be a new creature, serve Him faithfully, grow and mature. These things are very important. Just two or three points I want to look at in regard to staying faithful. Faithful Christian living, when we serve God, it'll help us to be on guard at all times. If you're serving God faithfully and I'm serving God faithfully, we're always going to be on guard about what we say to people, our actions toward people, the places we go, the things we participate in. We're going to be on guard at all times about our thoughts, our words, our deeds, our actions, all we communicate with. Because these things can corrupt us. These things can take us away. Ephesians 6:10-17, we put on the whole armor of God and fight off the wiles of the devil with the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, with our feet shod with the preparation of peace of the gospel. Well, faithful Christian living will continue. It'll be maintained. When you and I recognize, I said I was going to get to this point about 5 minutes ago, and here it is. Faithful Christian living will be maintained. It'll be continued when you and I recognize that we've committed a sin and we repent of that sin, confess our sin to God, and come to Him in the right way, and He'll forgive us. That's the way we maintain it. But the more we grow, the more we mature, the more faith we have, the less we'll sin. But we always have need of asking God for forgiveness. It may be privately between us and God, between us and another person. It may be something of a public nature. But when we realize it, we need to ask forgiveness. In Acts chapter 8, when Simon the sorcerer had been baptized into Christ, he had obeyed the Lord and he was a Christian. He wanted to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money, and Peter said, "You have not neither part nor lot in this matter. So, because your heart has been filled with this sin, you need to repent of this thy weakness and pray God that the thought of your heart might be forgiven you." And he said, "Will you pray with me?" And they prayed with him and he was forgiven. What was that? That was recognizing that I've committed a sin, I want it forgiven, help me with it. And he did what he needed to do. That's part of staying faithful. Part of being faithful is realizing when we're wrong. If somebody tells us and we realize it, or if we realize it after we've done it, let's fix it. God has a plan so we can fix it. He can take it out of our life. We can turn from it. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another. Confess your faults one to another. Pray to God. Well, faithful Christian living requires then that we keep the faith. The faith in Christ. The faith in God. The faith in His Word. Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you a crown of life. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, that you may know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, what do we do in that regard? Well, we put on Christ, and we serve God faithfully. A few things to remember. To him that knows to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. If I know I need to do this and I don't, and I've sinned, and I need to go to God and get it right. If I know I shouldn't do this and I go ahead and do it, then I've sinned. I need to go to God and make it right. Don't I? I sure do. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it's sin. 1 Corinthians 15:33 again. Do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupt good morals. We need to watch where we go and what we do and who we participate with. We need to watch our actions. If we've been communicating in some things we ought not to, then we need to stop it. So we can clean up our life. Abstain from every form of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. That's saying a lot, isn't it? You may say, "Well, Charles, that's going to be impossible." Well, possibility is that we can abstain from evil if we'll keep our guard up and keep the Word in our mind, keep our heart right, keep our faith right. Chances are, we can abstain from evil. Not perfection. Well, hey, I don't need to go do this. I don't need to go because it's wrong, you see. And then James 4:7-8, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. These are some keys that will help us to be faithful to God in what we do. Well, as a Christian, genuine and sincere obedience to God from the heart will result in your life, and it'll result in my life when we live faithfully. As a Christian, I know you want that, don't you? I want that for myself, and you want that for yourself. Ask yourself this morning, have I been faithful to God? If I haven't, then what's caused that? Sin caused it. Sin caused it. Whether it was you that initiated or someone else initiated and you got caught up in it or not, sin causes that. We need to get sin out of our life so we can be faithful. If you're here this morning, you've never been baptized into Christ, then you're separated from God and you can't be a faithful person until you're baptized into Christ and your sin's washed away. Why not do something about that? Repent, confess, and be baptized so you can serve God. Genuine and sincere obedience is essential to serving God faithfully. Note in the last point of the lesson this morning, 1 Peter 1, 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves in all your behavior. I know we all want to go to heaven, don't we? God's done His part. He will do His part. And they are doing their part. Him and His Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Word are doing their part. The key is, are you going to do your part? And am I going to do mine? Hopefully the lesson will be an encouragement this morning. If you're here and you need to correct something in a public way and we can help you in that regard, Jan's going to lead us in the invitation song. You can come at this time if you have need.